This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. If you live in Flint, your water is contaminated with lead. Once you figure out a way to filter it or stop drinking with it, cooking with it, bathing with it, you start thinking about other uses. For instance, if you grow a garden and you watered that garden the last couple of years with lead-contaminated water, should you be concerned? With us to talk about that is Teresa McLean. She's a Michigan State University Extension Service educator in community food systems in Flint. Flint residents are being encouraged to eat foods high in iron, calcium, and vitamin C because it helps stop the absorption of lead. So could you raise tomatoes, peppers, leafy greens in your garden? Should you?
Yes, Lester, there's been many, many questions about that. And we did begin back in the fall after it was publicly acknowledged that we had lead in our drinking water supply. We started to receive questions on that. And first step we took was to reach out to Michigan State University environmental chemists about that question of, okay, if we've been watering with lead-tainted water, have we affected our soil lead levels? The first step was to run some calculations on a known community garden that our local urban agriculture initiative, Edible Flint, manages. And we were able to give factors such as the square footage, the amount of water that had been applied over the growing season, the lead level in the water that had been applied. We had the previous soil test results, as that's part of our Edible Flint programming. We always encourage and, in fact, insist that we have a soil test run before planting a new food garden in an urban area. And so what happened were that the results came back a bare trace amount of lead had been added over an entire growing season. The environmental chemist explained to us that it would not be a significant source. So our first and foremost concern is what is already in soils.
Right, because that's a problem. Old lead paint from houses and outbuildings, lead from when we used to use lead gasoline. Even if you didn't use lead contaminated water to irrigate, how concerned should people be about checking that out?
Yeah, we have always moved forward with let's test first, because depending on what those results come back, we can make alternative suggestions.
Such as?
Raised beds, container gardens, selection of another spot. As you mentioned, those old historic sources of lead in the soil were often by heavily traveled roadways or in the drip lines of buildings that have been removed. Let's locate that garden away from those places initially, but still test EPA levels between 0 and 400 parts per million is considered low for gardening purposes. However, we add a few qualifiers to that. So lead does occur naturally in soils before those historic additions were added. And so in the range of 0 to like 70 parts per million, that can be found in any soil. We like to use the 300 parts per million limit, which is where we would want children not exposed beyond that limit for our soil for vegetable gardening. But interestingly, Lester, what we do to improve soils to grow gardens reduces the risk of lead from those gardens.
In what way?
The addition of compost, the addition of an additive to increase soil pH.
So you're basically diluting the lead content.
And somehow immobilizing it within the soil complex, and then very commonly recommended mulching. Because if you're in that higher lead level, towards that higher range of low, as I described, soil splash, the soil that gets stuck to our root vegetables or our leafy greens, could be a concern if not washed properly. And so we do recommend peeling all root crops and pulling off the outer leaf, the leafy greens. Of course, here in Flint, we have to wash them thoroughly with filtered or bottled water. And these are some of the things we do to reduce risk of lead. But I think your question about whether or not vegetables take up lead could be considered here.
Right, because a few years ago, I know scientists were studying phytoremediation, that is, using plants to take up heavy metals such as lead and other toxic stuff. They were testing grasses at the time, leafy vegetables, even lemon-scented geraniums, and they found that some plants were more efficient at taking up heavy metals than others. So how do we know which plants, which vegetables might be carrying or absorbing higher levels of lead than others?
Fortunately for us, vegetables are not very good at taking up lead. When we talk about low-risk vegetables, anything that fruits, Lester, like tomatoes, peppers, green beans, corn, if there is any lead uptake at all, it does not get translocated to the fruits. And so those are considered the safest type of vegetable to grow in a garden with elevated lead levels.
I want to make sure, so if you grow vegetables, the likelihood lead's not going to be a significant factor. Because I was going to ask you, let's say this summer your neighbor offers you some vegetables or there's someone selling some vegetables at the corner. Should you be concerned or should you just buy them and feel like this is a minimum risk?
We are strongly recommending that for the reasons of healthy food access and food security that people do continue to garden and grow their food and share their food. Again, the ways to reduce the risk is knowing what the soil lead level was in the first place and minimizing its mobility by adding that compost, by raising the pH, by covering with mulch. For those leafy crops and those root vegetables, make sure they're very thoroughly washed.
I've got one more question I want to ask, and that is, if you're watering this year and you're not going to run your garden hose through a filter, more than likely, are you running the risk of adding to your problem?
You're not appreciably adding to soil lead levels. But here in Flint, as part of our Edible Flint Garden Starters programming, with the support of a Michigan Department of Ag grant that we've just received, we are providing irrigation hose filters that remove lead. And really, Lester, that's just to minimize risks even further. But we can confidently say that vegetables do not readily take up lead. And if we are in an elevated lead situation, let's use those fruiting crops only, or raised beds or container gardens.
Teresa McLean works in Flint as an MSU Extension Educator and Community Food Services. Thanks very much for talking with us about this.
Thank you so much, Lester.